saving money at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber, decking, and fencing. All easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Plus, get free deck and fence estimates fast using our do-it-yourself design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Saving money on all lumber at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
April 17th, 1897. A local newspaper in Aurora, Texas, included a fascinating report of a flying object falling from the sky. On its descent, the object was said to have struck a local resident's windmill and exploded, leaving pieces of a strange, unidentifiable metal strewn about the property. Even more intriguing is the paper mentioned that a military official had identified a body at the scene of the crash. A member of the United States Signal Service was said to have stated that the body of the apparent pilot was not of this world. Whether it was human or not, the good people of Aurora, Texas were said to have buried the body in their local cemetery under an unmarked tombstone. For almost 80 years, this fantastic story was overlooked by national media. Then, in the 1970s, UFO investigators uncovered the reports of a crashed UFO that predated modern human flight and most known UFO sightings in modern history. Join Braden, Zell, and Dan as they take to the skies of the Lone Star State on this case file, the Aurora, Texas UFO crash.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Case File 73. Awoa UFO.
Oh my God.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
Welcome back. The gruesome twosome is gone, and now it's the dead weight's back.
Yeah, you guys were really efficient on that one. I didn't have to edit. I didn't have to edit or anything.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Crushed it.
It's weird. I listened back and I was like, I was conscious of my ums and ahs. I'm pretty sure I didn't do it at all. I listened to my solo thing, and within the first 3 minutes, it was like, I was like, oh, fuck, man. How do you stop?
I was fucking counting for a while. I got to 27. I was like, that's it.
It's the worst. I'm not sure what to do. I need a new filler. That's my filler, is ums and ahs.
It's really difficult to do that kind of stuff. I mean, and it's really distracting once you notice it. Like if you go to a public speaker or something and they start humming and ahing and I start counting them, and it drives me nuts. I'll stop listening.
Yeah, once you notice, you can't. If you don't notice right away, you can go through the whole thing. But if you notice right away, you can't get over it. This is funny. It's funny because now everyone knows how much.
Everyone knows. I fucking and ah like crazy. Because I'm always ad-libbing, so it's like,
Yeah, it's a connecting word.
All right. Some people have been asking me about someone and whereabouts he is. So, without further ado, well, he sneaks around the world from Thailand to Cambodia. He's a sticky-fingered flitcher from Berlin down to Belize. He'll take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world is Mr. Conspiracy? He's in Vietnam. Anyways, space news. Again, if you're in Vietnam, you want to get together with Mr. Conspiracy, shoot us a line. Some people from Cambodia messaged us, but he was already, in his words, leaving that shithole. I was like, "How do you like it?" He's like, "It's like they built every town on top of the dump." I was like, "There's got to be one good spot." He's like, "No, I hated it all. I'm leaving." I was like, "All right." So he's now in Vietnam. So if you're in Vietnam, you want to meet up with Mr. Conspiracy, have a couple beers, pick what's left of his brain, just shoot us a message, and we'll put you guys together. Let's get right into some space news.
Goddamn Space Force.
Space Force.
It's happening.
It is really happening.
Man, it's so funny.
We did talk about this. I can't remember. Me and Dan have done so many together now. We touched base on this, but it's awesome.
I hadn't seen the logo yet. The logo is, oh, God.
Someone sent us a message and asked us to talk about the logo for Space Force, and it looks like for a Disney Pixar's Space Force.
I thought it was a joke at first when I seen it.
Yeah, so did I. It's
no.
Space Force.
The whole Space Force is a joke. I mean, it has to be. This is, I can't wait to see how fast this goes away and how they sweep this under, like, as soon as when Trump's term is over. Like, they're just like, this is the dumbest thing. I know, as soon as he probably said it, because nobody really knew what he was doing. I'm sure the Pentagon, like, people in there, you've got, like, generals who have been in there for 20-some years, and they're just looking at each other like, what the f-? No.
Yeah, terrible.
So funny.
So here, guys, look, if you guys can click on that logo, I found another logo that I like, and I hope it's this becomes the logo. If you click on the link, I say you.
Stretching the boundaries of space exploration.
We'll post this on our Twitter or our Instagram or something. But basically what it is it looks like a hold of the stars with two hands spreading it open, and it says stretching the boundaries on space exploration.
A goatsy to the stars.
Yeah. great. If you're listening to this, you've already seen the Perseid meteor showers. Make sure to let us know if you went out and sat, what you thought of them, if you actually got to see them, because up here it's been too smoky. Tonight is the night, though. I think I'm going to give it a shot once we're done this podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to poke my head outside after we finish recording and take a look.
Oh, yeah.
No, man. Kelowna here is a fucking Armageddon. Like, I can't see, like, the other side of the street. It's so weird.
Fucking smoking Ogden.
There's
right now.
So much smoke here.
Smoking Ogden.
Well, so there's massive fires burning in California, and all that smoke combined with, like, all the smoke in BC already. It's just like, well, there's like 700 fires in BC, and then the same amount in California. It's all just like, it's all in the Okanagan right now over Kelowna. It's just disgusting. So no meteor shower for me.
No, that's tough. Well, I'll enjoy it for the both of us, because it's finally cleared up here. So. You can see it literally. There's smoke all around my horizon, but straight up, clear. So I'm hoping.
You know what? I shouldn't say that, because at Grizzfest on that Saturday night, where Braden got so meat jaw drunk, he doesn't even remember going to the festival.
No, that was Sunday night.
Sunday night. Sorry, yeah, Sunday night. That night I seen him. That was like the start of the shower. And I seen a few good ones then, but it was nothing like it would have been tonight.
Also, other space news. NASA's Parker Solar I can read. NASA's Parker Solar Probe. I can't say those words together. Solar probe blasts off to touch the sun.
It's cool.
Seems like a terrible. What's its mission? Like,
into the sun to go closer to the sun than any human satellite's ever been. Pretty cool.
Interesting.
Well, I think it'll be kind of neat, because I think it's probably, with the instruments that it's equipped with, it'll be able to prove a lot of theories that we have about sun or stars and things like that. Because I don't think a lot of people realize that most of the stuff that we know about stars and things like that is not direct. It's not from, like, direct analysis.
No,
like, nobody's been to the sun, nobody's been close to the sun to kind of get that information, because most of the stuff is, like, we see from a star is like observing its behavior and being like, okay, this is the best way we can describe what's happening. And these are the, you know, these math equations are the best things to that what causes it. So now with a solar probe, you could send it in there and you could actually prove like, oh, wow, like that's actually right. It's not a theory anymore. It's a fact.
Yeah. It's like here it is. The main thing the Parker's instruments are going to study is the solar wind and the corona. So it's pretty much this thing's going to get into the corona and it's going to help scientists discover
corona.
It's pretty much going to help them decipher how the corona gets heated up to millions of degrees.
Yeah, because there's stuff we don't know about.
No ideas. Yeah.
Like those solar forces. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know when they just kind of like theorize like this is what happens. This is probably what happens, but we're not 100% sure. But now that Parker Solar Probe's going to go be like, you know what? We are sure now.
Isn't our name on this probe?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, our name is on that probe.
Yeah, we fucking signed up a few months ago. Going to the sun, baby.
Going to the sun. Ka-ta!
It's cool. That's all I got.
That's all I got, too. That's it for space news. Should we do Randomatron X3? That's me trying to stop myself from doing an and being like, what do I turn this into?
Just a longer
Is that? I think it might be easier for you to cut out. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be able to see the waveform better. When I just see a long, steady, just solid block, I know that's what it is.
Cut it out.
Okay. Fuck.
Fire up that X3.
Fire up the X3. I'm just going to hit start on this thing right now.
You got yourself a ghost.
Wow.
Look at that baby.
Ryan, on the last one, we asked for someone to send us some audio clip of like an old printer printing where it's like, and then someone ripping off the two tabs. So that's on its way.
I can't wait.
Until then. All right. Ooh, this is ghosts, but it says, do you believe in demons? This is posted by Aqua Diamond 95 on, this was posted to Reddit. It's a little bit of a long one, so those of you who love to hear me read, buckle up, baby. Let me start by putting this out there. By no means am I trying to convince you of what I saw, but I wanted to share this experience I had recently, and this seemed like the best place to do it. It was 3 nights ago, and I had just gotten off work around 3 a.m., I worked a 10-hour shift, so naturally, I was exhausted. But having gotten so used to my schedule, I was still quite alert and present. I live next to my grandparents, but since my cupboard, usually stays bare. Oh, my cupboard. I get it. It was spelled weird. But since my cupboard usually...
Wait, how do you spell it?
I don't spell it like... Well, maybe is that how it's supposed to be spelled?
That's how it's spelled.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's weird. Cupboard. I just say cupboard. But I guess you would spell it cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Since my cupboard usually stays bare and we're out in the middle of nowhere, they're kind enough to leave the door unlocked for me when I get home so I can grab something to eat before heading off to bed. During the night in question, I came home like usual and quietly slipped in the back door to make my way to the pantry. My grandfather has a bad habit of sleeping on the couch in the den, so I had to be sure to stay extra quiet as to not disturb him. As I'm passing through the den, I happened to glance in his direction, and when I did, it took a moment to register what I was seeing, and then all I could do not to scream. There, in the dim glow of the television screen, sat a small, winged creature, propped up on one of the arms of the couch, sitting in my grandfather's direction. Its body was hunched, tucked almost into the fetal position, but it was sitting straight up, hands resting on its knees. I froze solid and simply stared at the thing. It looked somewhat like your typical depiction of a demon or devil, but its body was solid black, not hairy or cast in shadow, but a solid pitch black. Offsetting its skin color were two longish oval eyes and a set of perfectly straight teeth, both a piercing white. So white eyes, white teeth. I didn't notice any horns. As to be expected, its teeth came down to small points, and its little ears on either side of its head came up like Spock's. Almost unconsciously, my bag I carried to work slid off my shoulder and hit the ground at my feet. The thing and I sat in silence, and it seemed to regard me for a moment before putting a bony finger up to its lips and making a shh gesture. I could feel my mouth quivering as I stared at this little thing, but I wouldn't have much longer to stare. The glow of the TV flickered as a jump cut happened in whatever was on, and in that brief moment of darkness, the thing was gone. Just like that, it had disappeared. There was no indication it had ever been there, or even an indentation where it sat. I spent a solid half hour looking for anything to prove what I just saw was real. I've never suffered any serious hallucinations. Well,
hallucinations.
Yeah, what does that mean? I've never suffered any serious hallucinations or anything like that. Like, okay, here's the difference between me and this guy. I've never suffered any hallucinations. You know what I mean? This guy's never suffered any serious hallucinations. And it felt just as real as anything else that has ever happened to me. I slept in my grandparents' spare bedroom that night, admittingly too afraid to be alone in my own house. They didn't mind the next day, but I sort of half-heartedly explained I was too tired to go to my own house instead of telling the truth. I'm really scared for my grandfather's life, or for my own, for that matter. I don't know if this was some creature intent on delivering an ominous warning, or it just felt like goofing around. I don't really know.
Huh. Ooh,
little demon story. Okay. That is fucking
spooky. Makes
fucking
freaky demon.
Maybe I'll try to message this guy and see, because I would like to know if he's been prone to hallucinations and he just doesn't feel them. What is that? Holy fuck, it's a spider!
Oh, what?
Oh, in my little foamy here, there's a little something, and I was like, oh, what is that, a little fluff? And I went to go touch it, and as I touched it, it scurried, and I flicked it away. A little spider scared me. Yeah, so anyways, that's the Randomatron story of the day.
Little freaky little demon creature.
Do you believe in demons? Anyways, task at hand. What do we got today, boys?
Goddamn Aurora UFO incident.
This is an interesting one.
One of a highly requested one, actually. And also the oldest, I think, the oldest UFO that we've looked into. We've looked into.
I mean, yeah, that we've looked into, I think so. Yeah.
Who wants to sum it up? Do I even have to ask? Do I even have to ask?
Braden, you sum it up.
Go.
I almost spat out my water. Are you kidding me?
All right, Dan, what are we working with?
Well, okay, so we're working with the Aurora UFO case, which took place in Aurora, Texas, on April 17th, 1897. And the story is attributed to one Aurora cotton buyer known as S.E. Hayden, and appeared in the Dallas Morning News. In this newspaper, they printed a story about a strange flying object traveling due north on this, usually in the evening of April 17th. Now, it would be strange because this is 1897, so it's remarkable that this was about 6 years before the Wright brothers actually tested their flying machine. So anything up in the air was, you know, extremely strange, and you wouldn't see anything. There were no airships. It wasn't blimps, zeppelins, any of that stuff. It was really weird to see something like this. This object was evidently made out of some type of metal. And of course, the people who reported seeing it, the story said, evidently some of the machinery was out of order, for it was gradually settling toward the earth. It sailed directly over the public square, and when it reached the north part of town, it collided with the tower of Judge Proctor's windmill and went to pieces with a terrific explosion, scattering debris over several acres of ground, wrecking the windmill and water tank and destroying the judge's flower garden. So, there weren't any civilian casualties, but there were flower casualties, so.
And some reports that there was actually one body recovered.
Yes, TJ Weems, the local U.S. Signal Service. If you don't know what the U.S. Signal Service is, they're part of the United States Army. They are the, they're kind of like the, they provide communications and information system support for command, but they didn't have information systems back then, so it was mostly just communications and things like that. So this guy happened to be on site, and he gave it as his opinion that the pilot was native of the planet Mars.
How would he
that's
know
in
that?
Their words. That was printed. I don't know, but that's, you know, he's a little green man, apparently. I mean, I think reports actually kind of differ on what the actual guy said, like whether he, like, it was a. It wasn't of this earth.
Yeah, not of this world or something.
It was not of this world. I don't know if he said exactly it was planet Mars, but it was printed in there that he says a native of planet Mars. So I'm assuming he just saw this. They said the body was smaller than normal. It was diminutive in size. And yeah, I couldn't really tell. It didn't look human, you know. So they might have just said, oh, Mars, because that's all they could think of at the time. They said they found papers on the body that were written in unknown, some form of unknown hieroglyphics and could not be deciphered at the time. And the pieces of metal that were scattered around the debris field where the craft crashed, they said the metal was some sort of unknown material that resembled something like a mixture between aluminum and silver. So this same story actually appeared in another newspaper at the time, in the Fort Worth Register, and they took out the, well, with the exception of a different concluding sentence where it was the pilot who was not an inhabitant of this world,
right,
and was given a Christian burial at the Aurora Cemetery. So they actually buried, or they said they buried this, the corpse that they found in a cemetery in Aurora.
Yeah, they took...
Which there's actually... The cemetery's still there. The cemetery's still there, and it's like this where they buried most of their dead in that town. So,
yeah, there's still a plaque. There's, yeah, like, plaque at that, like, that cemetery, which actually mentions... They call it the legend, though. The legend of the incident, but...
Yeah. And the funny thing is, this year, actually, on March 30th, Stratton Horace, who is a Dallas civil defense attorney, offered $1,000 for the return of the grave marker that was stolen from the cemetery that actually marked that grave. The grave marker was actually stolen in 1972, and that was after the actual MUFON had published an investigative piece about the Aurora incident, and so somebody found the marker and stole it. And then it was also, and then they replaced it, and then that one was stolen in 2012.
Really?
Yeah. So I think now they do have another kind of like makeshift. They have like a makeshift headstone now, and it's just like a large rock. And I think it's got some sort of an inverted delta sign with like three interlocking circles or something like that they used to mark the grave.
Yes.
Now, if you're wondering like, oh, well, why haven't they dug up the grave? Well, people have requested to exhume and that cemetery before, a couple of people have. I know that TV show UFO Hunters, they did an episode on this, and they also requested to exhume, but they didn't let them, because who's going to really let people exhume a grave, you know, for this kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So it's a flying craft before flying craft were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
It's really strange. Like, it's this story actually stayed kind of under the radar until 1967. So from like 1897, so almost like what, like it was like 69 years or something like that. That the people didn't even, nobody even really knew about this story until a news columnist from Dallas, Frank Tolbert, got a letter from a reader that actually had a copy of that report. And the funny thing is, like, this columnist, he actually wasn't the first one to know about it. The year before, Dr. Alfred Krauss, who is at what is now West Texas State University, had actually looking into the Aurora story, and he was doing it on behalf of the Condon Committee. And if you don't know what the Condon Committee is, they were the Air Force funded investigation into UFOs, which were conducted at the University of Colorado under Dr. Edward Condon. And like, you can actually look it up. The Condon thing is that's kind of the, I'd say it's like the reference material. Most of the UFOlogists kind of quote now is the Condon report. It's like a,
well, that was at the end of Project Blue Book was the Condon report.
Right.
And that was like what ended the Project Blue Book. Cause that their findings were that there was no threat to national security and all that. So they just kind of stopped it, but man, it's crazy.
So yeah, people have been over that place. They said that Krauss talked with the people in Aurora, like the old timers. They said they had searched the crash site with a metal detector and found that there was nothing. And it's just like, it's a really strange thing. But the thing is, like, they talked to at least one witness who said that the entire story was made up, and that she said that there was no windmill on the property at all. There's never been a windmill there. But when they actually investigated some of the area of that property, they found remains of a windmill. So there had been a windmill there. And
at
apparently
one time. Yeah.
Yeah. At one time.
Here's the thing. When I started looking into this one thing that interests me, because I was like reading about a lot of people being like, oh, they made it all up. They made it up to get us to come and visit. Like, their town was dying. They needed tourism. So they made this whole story up. My thing is, like, this is 1897. I would like to know what science fiction books were around then, around that time, and if there was some that were popular about like aliens and spaceships, because it's one thing to like read a book and then come up with this idea, kind of loosely basing it. But like, this is Texas in 1897, rural Texas. Are you telling me that this guy potentially just like made up this whole story, created this like ship and everything like out of nothing, like with no reference of anything? Cause like shit didn't even fly back then. You know what I mean? So you have no reference to like base your ideas off of.
It's a pretty complicated story he's made up. He's made up like a whole like different, like a whole new craft, like a whole new technology. He's just like,
this actually happened in April. And the funny thing is, the War of the Worlds, which is kind of one of the most popular things, kind of mentioning aliens from Mars, the War of the Worlds wasn't published until, actually it started in April. April to December 1897. So if people were taking stuff from Mars, you know, and the guy could have picked up on that and been like, well, we got to get people to come to our town. But I don't see why you would do that, like to get people to come to your town. Or you know, like, are you going to bank? How long can you bank on that?
It would make more sense. You know? It'd make more sense
over
back 100
then. Years, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, it would make more sense back then to like, say you fucking some type of a religious artifact you found, and like you make up a religious artifact that had Christ's face in it or something like that, like something more like with the times.
Yeah.
Because back then, way more people were like religious back then, so like, the thought of aliens and spaceships.
It blasphemy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'm sure the guy probably just read War of the Worlds.
Yeah, it's true.
When it was published out then, and kind of just picked up on it, was like, you know what? Oh, Martians are in. Let's do that. Good idea.
War of the Worlds was a radio broadcast though, wasn't it, to start with?
No, it was published in a magazine.
Oh, and then they just read it on the radio.
Yeah, the radio broadcast one came later, and that's kind of like a dramatized version of War of the Worlds.
Right, okay. Huh. Well, okay, here's something more to the theory. So this ship crashes in the judge's yard, crashes through his fucking windmill. Later on, this guy, Mr. Brawley Oates, purchased this property in 1935, and the story goes that he cleaned out all they buried all the debris back in the day in the, like, underneath the windmill. Like, they just buried it there, some under the windmill and some, like, in the grave with the body. But this guy, Mr. Oates, supposedly he cleaned out all the debris because there was like a well down there for drinking water. And his claim back in the day was that actually developed extreme form of arthritis shortly after starting to drink that water. So the theory is that whatever that material had some type of like radioactive isotopes and had polluted that water under there. But no one, the story was never really followed up because Oates never produced any of the stuff he took out of the well. So people say that he did it to add to the story.
Yeah, in that episode of the UFO Hunters that I watched, they said they tested the water from that well. Like, they contacted the current owner of the property. This was probably back in 2010. And they contacted them, and they went down into the well and actually tested the water, and they didn't find anything.
Nothing.
They didn't find anything wrong with it.
No, but if that, say it, there was a ship down there and it was removed a long time ago, maybe the water had filtered it out by then. I don't know, but...
That's true. Could have been something that's gone there, you know?
Yeah. So what are some of the main theories then? Besides an alien UFO with an alien resident of the ship who died in a slow moving, it was a slow moving crash too from all accounts, wasn't it? Like, it wasn't going more than like 10 or 20 miles an hour when it finally came down.
Yeah.
So like, what, is there any other theories? There was no, like, there's no weather balloons back then, right? There's no...
Nope.
There's no flying, like there's nothing was flying back then.
Even like flying at 25 miles per hour that could take out a whole windmill, you know, that could destroy a windmill. There's nothing like that, you know. You might have like, I think 1800. I mean, they had balloons, like they had hot air balloons, but
not like a Zeppelin style, just like an actual.
Yeah,
balloon,
nothing that was like made of metal, which is, they said that, you know, that this spread metal pieces when it crashed, you know. So it's not like Dorothy's balloon, like going to Oz or anything, just like smashing this windmill. It's something made of metal. There's something crashed there, but you'd think like they would keep pieces of it, you know, and especially this body of the pilot or whatever they found. That would have been nice to have, but, you know, if nobody can exhume the body, then it's like we can never really confirm whether or not something actually happened.
And let's be realistic here. Let's be realistic in this. Even if the military hadn't gone in and already done it, they would have. If, you know what I mean? Like, the military wouldn't just be like, we'll just honor you not wanting us to dig this up. Yeah, for sure. Like, shit would have been dug up, like... Boom, dug up instantly.
And if they did dig it up, like, somebody would have saw it. It's not something they could have like hid. It would have been like, no, like, somebody dug up the local cemetery and pulled something out, and it was like there wasn't a hole there the day before, and now there's a hole there. Somebody would have noticed if they had taken something.
I couldn't find anything where they described the alien. Did you guys see anything where they described the pilot of the craft?
Nothing really, no.
I didn't find anything either. So that, like, to me, I'm like, they just always refer to him as a pilot, not of this world. And I'm like, well, was he not of this world because he didn't look human, or was he not of this world because of like his weird ass space suit he was wearing? That, like, that's kind of what I was curious about. Because,
like, how weird, like, how do you identify as somebody who's not from
out
this,
of this world?
Because, I mean, in 1897, it could have been anybody.
It could have been
a person from China. They would have been like, oh, it's not from this world.
Yeah.
Because my thing is like, yeah, they look, they're like, oh, this guy's from the moon. But then I was like, oh, maybe it was some sort of like time travel thing, right? Like some time travel device that came in and then crashed. And then the guy died, And so even if they were to exhume the bodies, you're going to be like, oh, there's only bodies here. But it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Just means that it's not necessarily alien. Maybe it's us.
All right. That's a shitty time machine.
Well, you know.
Well, that is one of the main theories of like ETs. It's just like humans either from another timeline or from the future coming back to check out what was going on at this current time. Yeah. But I don't know. This is a weird one because like all other UFO cases, like we have flying stuff and secret like space or secret like flight programs and shit, right? But as far as like this is well before World War One and like the rapid advance in military technology, and before flight of really of anything.
This is before like aerial. This is before flight technology. Period. You know. It's just
that's the hard thing for me is like I'm like, hey, if this guy was well read and read War of the Worlds, then I'm gonna say like, you know what, like there's a chance that he just fabricated this because now he's got something to lean on, right? Of like with what he's creating. Like I'm just saying, like if I wanted to make up if I was gonna make up spiders, it'd be hard to make up a spider if I'd never seen an insect. You know what I mean? Like it's. You usually come up with stuff that references to what you've already experienced and already know.
Yeah.
So to come up with this flying fucking ship from space and you've never seen or fathomed any of that, anything that could travel the sky, like, that's a tough one for me. It's really tough.
Yeah, so yeah, he got the, either it's a complete hoax, he got the idea from War of the Worlds or whatever. And, but then like, if it's a hoax, then, like does the newspaper guy is this on board with it too, and like he colludes to print this story,
and then the judge of the town is like, yeah, 100%. Like, how old's April Fools?
How old is April Fools? Yeah. That's April 1st.
That's April 1st.
Well, though. Did we ever change the date?
Maybe. It's just an elaborate April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that then you'd have to get the judge in on it too, right? And I'm not saying that back then that, you know, maybe didn't have a couple judge, but they're most of the time they're pretty upstanding citizens.
Supposed to be. Yeah.
If I went to one of the, like, if I went to a judge right now in town, I was like, hey, can I say, hey, man, I'm Braden from Alien Theorist Theorizing. I see you got a windmill on your yard. I want to go ahead and wreck that and say a UFO hit it. Like, you down? You cool with that? He's going to be like, get the fuck off my yard.
Yeah, it'd be a hard thing to approach for sure.
It's such a tough one for me. I'm reading reports that there's an amateur historian who says that the government did come in and exhume all the graves.
I didn't see that.
I'm reading it right now on... It's not on the best. It's not. I wouldn't say the best.
Most reputable.
Reputable site. But a novelist, Carrie Haggard, talks about it. He says that the government secretly exhumed an alien out of there, or exhumed a single grave.
Is it on the Sun?
Nah. Yeah, that's right. But I mean,
it's better than nowhere.
It's better than nowhere. I just want to see.
Not by much.
Like,
okay, well, let's just entertain the idea.
Okay.
So there is an alien cover up going on by the government, or not even the government, but like a shadow group of, like a shadow government, someone with a lot of money and a lot of technology. They're trying to keep it for themselves.
But this they wouldn't even know back then.
No, I'm saying like, when was it exhumed though? Was it probably years in the future? Well,
yeah, way more in the future.
So let's say like now we're post World War II, we're post Roswell, we're in Cold War times. UFO sightings are through the roof, and there is this special force that is going around to try and cover up or disinform people about the alien phenomenon. They find out about this. They find out through easy, like their research about Aurora, Texas.
I imagine it goes like this: beep 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 beep. This comes right from the White House. The president, find out all UFOs. Find out anything we can. Beep, 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 beep. Earliest known UFO. Beep, 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 beep. Aurora, Texas. Quick. Call the jet. And then they're off.
It more be like people shuffling papers for like 4 hours trying to find something.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that was going through old newspapers. Like, you know, it's like going to every city hall and like going through all the newspapers. God, that would suck.
Okay, but let's say they did. Let's say they did it, and like, so they're going around, like they cover up Roswell and like all these other like Aztec, New Mexico, and all these other UFO crashes, which some people say they're not even crashes though. They're actually being brought down by the military. Either way, they find out about this one. They go to the town. They're probably in and out in one night or one, like, you know, quick amount of time. Take whatever metal or body is in that grave, and they're gone. Like, I don't know. Could happen.
I don't know if it'd be one night. I think it would have to be, because you'd have to go over that whole place with like metal detectors, and I think it would just be something that got reported. You know, oh, there's these weird people in the town, like for a couple days, or a couple weird trucks here. But I don't know. Maybe, but I think you could be right, because it'd just be like, you know, that guy Krause, who investigated for the Condon report. I don't think he was the first one to know about it. I think the guys who were doing Blue Book probably would have knew about it before he did. Like, Braden's probably right, because it's just like the military was investigating every single UFO incident, you know, after they became more aware of the happenings around the world. And they're like, oh, we should probably look into more of this stuff. Like, this was reported in the paper. We better go check that out.
Yeah.
You know? But if they exhumed a body, I think somebody would have saw it.
You think you would hear, like, eventually something comes out, like something, a little, looks like even a little story somewhere, or a little blog, or like,
yeah, just something. Like, there would have been a groundskeeper or something, unless they paid the groundskeeper off.
That's maybe. What I'm saying. You go in there, you're like, hey, we're going to dig up that one grave. Like, here's,
you tell anybody, we'll kill you.
Yeah. Here's $50,000. Like, we'll pay you. We're going to pay you monthly or whatever. If the information ever comes out, we'll discredit you and we'll cut off the funds. You know what I mean? Like, if I saw a UFO crash and these guys are like, hey, I'll pay you $3,000 every month, never say anything, I'd be like,
that's it, that's all it costs.
That's all it would take me. That, I'm saying $3,000 every month.
You're like, wow,
I would have done it for what?
You're
for a Twix bar. Like,
I'm a blabbermouth. I couldn't help
you. You'd last 1 month.
Yeah, probably.
And you'd be dead.
Even if that, yeah. I'd be dead, disinformed. You'd find me in some zippered, bound and gagged in some in some gym bag in my bathtub. And yeah. They'd say I was into some weird sex stuff.
Yep, committed suicide by accident. Accidental suicide by...
Let me tell you something. If I'm ever found in a gym bag, you know it's murder, because I'm the least flexible human being on the planet.
He didn't get in there by himself.
Impossible.
Another thing I read, it was just like... And it's just a footnote. It's like, it's talking about something else, but it's like, oh, it combines this with our favorite, one of our favorite conspiracies, the Nazis, Die Glocke.
Die Glocke.
Okay, so like an advanced culture on this planet.
Well, here, imagine this. Imagine the Nazis have Die Glocke, right? They're like, oh, I think we can, you know. Have someone travel the time. We got to put them in some sort of like device, like some sort of tube, metal tube, let's say. And they send them back in time to, they're like, you will infiltrate the United States and destroy them from within. And then they send back this guy, crash lands and gets buried.
Crappy job.
Crappy job. Well, yeah, but they're just figuring it out, right? Like, they didn't know.
I don't know. Like, the weird thing is the crash sounds remarkably similar to how aliens crash in the War of the Worlds. Like, it's the same. It's like a meteor that's like a strange artificial cylinder and crashes to the ground. And that's the first time they see the aliens. Like, it sounds remarkably similar.
You know what makes it sound a hoax to me is how slow everyone says it goes. Because no one would have ever seen a plane crash or anything. So, like, no one would have a reference of just how bad those things fall out of the air and how fast they travel. So when they're saying it's going real slow, that to me is like, well, it probably wasn't, or it's probably fake. Like, that's a pretty fucking controlled landing at going, you know, 20 miles an hour.
Because, yeah, the fastest thing at the time would have been, like, railway, which is can't be more than, like, 30 miles an hour, right? That'd be the fastest humans could go at that time. So, like, when they're saying, like, it's going 25 or 30 miles an hour, to them, that's going, like, oh, that's going damn fast. Yeah. It's going damn fast.
Woo-wee! Grab your hat, boy. That's my thing. I was like, they'd have no frame of reference to like shit fucking like what that thing would have took out the judge's windmill and his fucking house. Right.
Well, especially if it's like some type of advanced craft that can travel through dimensions or through time, it's probably got some crazy reactor on it or something that if it's like disrupted or something, like, you know, some crazy tech, it would have some crazy
technology.
Yeah, I don't
think it just would have exploded and left around just like shreds of metal. Like there would have been bigger pieces or something like that.
Like, yeah, or like vaporized like an orb around it or something. And it would have been, who knows, something. But it wouldn't have been a slow moving, just knocks over a wooden windmill kind of thing.
Yeah, they definitely would. I think they would have found more substantial kind of stuff, because it's like something exploding that either if it came through the atmosphere, like it survived the trip through the atmosphere, dude, they would have found like instrument, like, you know, electronic instruments, things like that, like larger pieces than even if it were a freaking like escape pod or something like that, like you see in
people
would have
had
Wars,
it like, people would have had it on their fucking mantles that they handed down to generations. It would be like, oh, that's my grandpappy, he found that there piece of metal from the flying tube, took out the windmill.
Exactly, that's exactly how Texans sound.
Yeah, it is. Yeehaw!
Sorry, second most listened place in the world. They're gonna love you. what other theories go along with this one, besides like an obvious a UFO or a hoax? Mm-hmm. There's really not a lot else at that time.
It's really hard to go off of something because it's really just it's one news report. And back then, like, news was not really new. I would struggle to call it news. You know, hoaxes were big, all the rage back then. You know, sensationalism was just kind of, you know, just a way to sell papers.
Yeah, especially like especially local news, because like all the big news,
they can print whatever they want. Nobody's gonna fact check that stuff. The fact check wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, like all the big newspapers, like the big city newspapers at the time, would have been like on the news wire. They all been working with each other and like, you know, corroborating stories and stuff. But one little small town paper, one article, one guy.
Yeah,
it's cool though.
It would have meant, yeah. It's good. It's cool.
If it's a hoax, it's good imagination. Like as well, like he did a good job.
Yeah, it's kept going for like almost like what 120 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, hey, if it's persisted this long, you know, the people still go. I mean, there was they've had tours. They still sell tours of like the graveyard where the pilot was allegedly buried.
My thing is,
they had it in April, like the end of April. They were April 20th or something like that. This year they had tour you could go on.
I'm gonna say because they won't dig it up, it's a hoax. You know what I mean? That shit would have been dug up. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, it's either this one's a tough one for me because I'm like, what's the slowest moving fucking aircraft ever crash lands at walking speed. Why? Well, how far? 20 miles an hour. How fast is that in kilometers?
You're fast. You're sprinting like Usain Bolt, but.
Oh, okay. But then you. Like, that's a controlled crash.
It's really slow for aircraft. I mean, you can't sustain the lift at that speed, so it'd have to be some anti-gravity technology or whatever, right? It would have to be some different than a flying craft, a winged craft. Or it's just a great imagination taken from a great sci-fi book of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
I mean, heck, you know, like that windmill could have been destroyed by anything, really. It could have been a lightning strike, and the guy was just like, oh, okay. Let's pretend it was UFO.
All right. Here's my theory about why this happened. Now, I'm reading a little bit. I'm taking into it account of there's a historical researcher by the name of Barbara Brammer, who was a former mayor of Aurora. She says that Aurora had been beset by a series of tragic incidents. First, the local cotton crop was destroyed by the boll weevil infestation.
Boll weevils.
Boll weevil? Is that bully? No, boll.
It was boll weevils. Boll, yeah, weevil. Boll weevils. Not boll.
Whatever. I don't care. Some weevil. Infestation. Secondly, there was a fire on the town's west side that claimed several buildings and lives. And shortly after the fire, there was the spotted fever epidemic that hit town, and it nearly wiped out the remaining town. and the town was under quarantine. Then they were planning to build a railroad, and the railroad got within 27 miles of Aurora, but then they weren't gonna make the railroad go into town. So Aurora was like, it was about to become a ghost town. Like, nothing was going for it. Everything's bypassing it. So they do these claims. I think it was a last-ditch effort to be like, if we can get enough people to be trying to come here, like, they'll make a railroad or they'll do something, right? And we can prosper. And this guy's like, hey, I just read this, like, interesting book or this interesting magazine had the story War of the Worlds. Why don't we say one of these things landed in town?
Yeah.
And then they got everyone on board, right? They got all the townsfolk, because you got, what else are you going to do in 1896? Except you got your hay in your mouth, sitting on your front patio, drinking an unsweetened tea. That's my theory. And then that's what they did. They elaborated this whole story, made it, and it's crazy. Because they give just enough information and just not enough information that there's still a little bit of an air of mystery. It's actually ingenious. But I don't believe this one for a second. I'm closing the books on this one. Pending new evidence, of course.
Well, one of the most famous UFO researchers would disagree. Jim Mars, I've read his book before. It's called Our Occulted History. He was actually a reporter at the time in like Dallas or something. And then he actually went and investigated this. And he claims that when he went and visited the gravesite, this is why he thinks it's real. I'm not on board with it. But when he visited the gravesite the first time, there was a small, like a headstone, which was like, it looked like it was broken in half, and it had like an inscription or an engraving. He claims looked like a half of a UFO with three portholes on it, yet the other half of the stone was missing. And like as Dan said, it was actually stolen. So when he came back, it was taken and it was just replaced with a rod. He's like, someone must know I'm onto it. So therefore, must be aliens. Therefore aliens.
Well, that's okay. That to me is more believable. So he went to investigate. He's there. He's investigating. And someone then, like, what's the time frame? Like, he investigated, then 2 years later it's stolen? Or like, he went to investigate and like, he went to go back like the next night and it was gone. That's what I want to know. I want to know the timeline of this.
No, I think it's more on the first longer time frame.
See, then, yeah, as it got popularity, listen, you go to any historical site, you'll see some fucking asshole carved in fucking
yep.
BR yeah. plus fucking Katie, little heart forever. You'll see people that be like, man, like racial slurs, people just carve in like it's a bathroom stall. Like, people are fucking idiots.
Yes.
Yeah, people will steal anything that's not nailed down if it's like, if it has some sort of like historical value or something like that. Especially if we're like a headstone or they think it's like a Martian. Dude, people steal street signs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they would, if that thing wasn't on there and they believed that it didn't really, I mean, it wasn't heavier than they could carry. You know, if you could get it out there with, you know, with little effort, they'd take it. I don't, yeah.
100%. I just, what do you think, Zell? I have a hard time with this. What do you think, though?
I have a hard time with these kind of, like, cases that are really old and there's not really much to them besides, like, you know, really, really only one or two news articles. A lot of hearsay about, I heard this guy talk to an old guy who talked to an old guy who said it was an alien. So, like, it's a more believable story that it was like an effort to increase like the awareness of that area and the town. To me, like, that could make sense, though it was never proven either way, I guess, but it's a tough one. It is a tough one. I don't think if it's of all other UFO crashes or incidents, it doesn't really fit, you know, very slow moving, just, you know, nudges over a windmill tower and explodes over the yard. I don't know.
And then going 20 miles an hour, it hits the ground and just wrecks. This metal craft is obliterated.
Okay, well, I'll take it back. Maybe it was some type of technology, and that's what, like, some type of reactor, and it ruptured and it blew up at slow speeds. I don't know, but it still seems too far-fetched.
I'll go on with that. But there'd be some evidence of an explosion. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's no fire. They didn't report any fire or anything like that.
It would have blown the judge's house apart.
Well, like, you don't need fire for an explosion, but there's no evidence of any crater, right? It's just like shards of metal.
Just like took out his flower garden.
Yeah. Dan, what do you think?
I'm on the same wavelength. I think reports that are not able to be corroborated, especially when they're this old and you're just having anecdotal evidence, just like, you know, somebody told somebody and it's only one source of information, is really difficult to verify. Especially lacking any sort of physical evidence of pretty much any kind. So yeah, like Brayden said, like nobody picked up, somebody would have picked up like those pieces of metal, like somebody would have kept those, or they would have put them in like a town museum or something like that. And especially when you take into account, like this was reported right around the same time as they published War of the Worlds. And like the 2 years before that, like they had the published the, like people were theorizing that there were canals on Mars. And yeah, so these people were just trying to get on the map, you know, they're just trying to save their town, which apparently was suffering from a lot of misfortune at the time. So that's what I got. That's what I say.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. It doesn't seem, it doesn't fit the UFO, you know, scenario. It just seems, there's not enough to it.
Yeah, maybe, I'm going to.
Maybe it is, but there's not enough to it.
This is, I'm going to give my final thoughts on Aurora UFO right now. That's what I think of the Aurora UFO incidents. I think it 100% is a hoax. Good one. If I was anywhere in Texas, would I go? 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Damn right, I'd be there in a second.
Yeah, I'd go.
I'd do the whole tour.
I'd still go. If I were in Texas, like if I'm in Texas, I would go.
You know, sometimes you get like, sometimes you can go, like, we can talk as much shit about that as you want. And you go there and you're like, you know what? Like, the fucking, this area has a weird feel. Like,
weird vibe.
You know what
I
mean? Like, something, there's some weird vibes here. Like, you get those feelings from going to those places. So it'd be interesting to see. What else we got here before we move on to other stuff? Ryan, you got any news? Listen, actually, first off, something has started to happen, and I want to now turn it into a thing. whenever you say you've been saying on Twitter and stuff, like, ask us anything, right?
Yeah.
People will ask us fucking weird ass things, and they always go asking for a friend. Always. So that's, I want that to be one of our new hashtags. Anytime
asking for a friend.
Anytime you're going to ask us a question, you better be hashtag asking for a friend, because it's happened quite a bit. It's pretty funny. I keep laughing every time someone does it. And I don't know if people are catching on to other people doing it, but I've caught on to a few people doing it via different social media. So hashtag asking for a friend. Ask us anything. Here's one from our boy at Cobra Law.
Yeah.
Cobra Law is... hashtag asking for a friend. If you could have access to any place on Earth, Area 51, the Pentagon, Smithsonian, the place where they combine KFC's secret herbs and spices, etc., and learn all the secrets, you could, where would you go? Zell, where would you go?
Well, I'm going to whatever area it is they have the aliens. If it's 51, 52, I'm going there. I'm going in. That's where I'm going.
Dan?
For sure.
I think we answered this one before, though. Or somebody asked us this before, and I said, and it's still same answer is like, I would go to the Vatican archives.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah,
Vatican archives.
I'd
go
that.
There. Like, no hesitation.
Yeah, that's,
let me in there.
That's a good one, too. That's true. Ooh. You know what? It was the Catholic Church that pretty much destroyed the whole world's knowledge, sucked it into their own vault. So,
yeah, they got it. And then they just burned everything. They got stuff in there.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay. I'll go one off Facebook here.
Asking for a friend. I got another one here.
Okay, go for it.
This is from Keely or Kyle. Kyle tweets, hashtag asking for a friend. How much UFO information out there do you figure is actually disinformation from various governments and the like? Can you really trust anything you read or hear? No, you can't. 100% no.
Shit, this is too much weird. This, the news right now is just fucking crazy. Honestly, I don't know what. I can't even fucking look at it.
It's, I like, you can't. I don't want to be like, don't believe anything that you read, because that's not the right answer.
Then
that's not the right thing to do. It's being able to read stuff. I think it's actually like a skill that's kind of going away with our education system a lot. Like, people are just like believing what they read. And I think a lot of that is what's happening now, is people just believe what they want to read, believe the first thing that they read, and then they just go off on that. You know, it's being able to analyze information and kind of approach it logically, where you can be like, okay, so this newspaper just said this. Okay, well, let me look that up real quick. And let me, where did they pull this from? Like, let me go look at that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's being able to like process that information. So if you can corroborate the information, like, if that's going to be your best approach to kind of figuring out more about what you want to know.
It's weird, because mainstream news thinks like, we're the mainstream news, so we can put out an article with no real source and then you should believe it. But what they should really do is include, like, all, so you can go research where they found their answers. But a lot of times,
I mean, some newspapers will do that. Like, more reputable ones will post like where they got the information, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
If you read an article and they don't, if you read an article on a news site or something like that, and they don't really post their source or something like that, it's kind of iffy, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I can't believe stuff on Twitter most of the time that people can't do this.
I mean, Twitter's great. Like, say you find something good, you can post it on Twitter, but make sure whatever you post on Twitter has links to whatever you're talking. Like, you know, yeah. If you're really trying to like prove a point or prove a theory, you gotta link, even if it's on Twitter. You gotta link.
Put two or three sources you know, you can't just go off of one article.
Yeah.
So I mean, I could find one article that tells me, you know, vaccines are bad, but I'm like.
Well, the thing with,
like, there's a few that say that, but there's a lot more that say they're good.
Well, I mean, like, the vaccine debate's funny, because like, there is a vaccine court and vaccines do harm people. That doesn't mean vaccines are bad.
Yeah.
I really want to do a case file on it, because like, Andrew wants to do one too, because there is like vaccine courts, and people do get fucked up from vaccines in certain cases. But
yes.
I mean,
but any medical procedure has its own, that's what I mean. You know, whenever you're putting something foreign into your body, there are risks.
Yeah. But and there's only, in mainstream news, though, there's always like, you're either pro or anti-vaccine. There's no like, no, I'm pro-vaccine, yet I know there's like there's vaccines that do bad shit. Like, there's like, it's a full spectrum thing. But in mainstream news, it's always like just divided, pro or against, you know, like, it's just like that. And then everyone fights each other over it. It's fucking crazy.
But that's anything where there could be two opposing sides, is that's all they do. It's easier to keep everyone apart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Easier to control two groups than 100.
Okay, I got a question here from Alex O'Brien.
Hashtag asking for a friend.
Alex is asking for a friend. There's been a lot of crazy stuff in space lately. You can see almost every planet there was on a blood moon, and there's been a lot of crazy natural disasters like hail, brush fires, volcanoes, extreme flooding, dust storms. Do you guys think it's related or just coincidence? Well, if you go with like an astrology version, like all the planets are lined up and all the energy is like pulling on each other, maybe, but there's not really a lot of like, it's hard to measure that kind of stuff. So all that stuff is going on at like ever increasing rates right now, like where we are in like a geological like trend. It's like super dry and droughty, like a lot of North America.
Yeah, that's the climate. I subscribe to like the climate change is effing real. Like that stuff's happening. Like, the stuff, the temperatures are rising. We've had these droughts, which are way longer than they have. And I mean, we're kind of actually lucky kind of right now, because I mean, there are droughts that lasted. I mean, they put them in the historical record. Like, you can look at the geological record and see that there have been droughts that lasted almost 100 years.
Yeah.
And those are the kinds that like took down entire civilizations, you know? They attribute like even the fall of the Mayans, disappearance of the Mayans, or even the civilization that built Angkor Wat, like the Cambodian nation. These massive civilizations, they just had a huge drought that lasted 100 years and just effed them up royally. And then you get this thing. And I hope we're not hitting one of those, you know, because that's most of that stuff was natural. But now we've thrown so many chemicals up in the air, and I don't know, getting pretty rough. I think everything's just kind of coming to a head now.
The climate change case file's coming. I love to talk about that one because, I mean, there's so much cool stuff about that one.
Hey, can we please make that one a two-parter? Let's make it a two-parter. And for the first parter, let's not get into so much conspiracy side. Let's get some sort of fucking oil guy on. One of those oil workers who's just been fucking brainwashed by an oil company.
Just pro putting more CO2 in the air and all that shit?
Yeah.
Pro-fracking.
And just let them go off about like, and just we can listen to them spew about how oil saves lives. And well, if you don't like oil, then you can walk.
Yeah.
Right.
You like heat in your house in the winter? You're like, it's not even that bad. What we do is fine. We just blow up the earth down below. It's totally fine. I was told in a 15-minute video at my orientation at work.
Yeah. Okay. Those oil guys are so funny because they talk like they love oil, but they just love money.
Yeah.
Like those guys make a fucking fortune on the oil patch, like wherever in Canada here, it's the oil patch, like the oil sands, like you're rigging, right? You make a shitload of money. But imagine instead of subsidizing like oil production and like fossil fuel production, we started subsidizing like renewable resources, wind and solar. And like then those people just move to those jobs and they're still making boatloads of cash. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to be like, oh, I really miss my oil job. Like, I really miss getting blown up most of the day and like having fucking gears break and tubes fly across the fucking
bunch of chemicals all over you like every day. Yeah, no,
they love making $250,000 a year and only working 6 months a year. Like, they love that. That's what they love. They don't love the oil. That's for sure. We got another question, Brayden? Or Dan?
I got one. This one's from Emily. Hashtag asking for a friend. She says, are you going to do a Skinwalker Ranch episode? Yes, of course. I love that. That's like the best.
Yeah, we've briefly...
Skinwalker Ranch is the best.
Briefly talked about it before. There's just a lot of cool stories about it.
Yeah. If not, I'd like to do another one. Yeah. Talk about that one guy who sold it. That's the same guy, right? There's a dude that sold his ranch. Is that a different one? That's the guy who had like killed a bunch of aliens with a samurai sword. We gotta talk about.
Oh, that was in Arizona. That was a different ranch, I think.
Oh, that's a different ranch. Yeah. We talk about just ranches he killed in general. Yeah, he fucking killed. Awesome.
Went on a fucking samurai murdering spree against the aliens and.
Freaking amazing. So Skinwalker Ranch full episode. So we haven't done one, right?
No, we
haven't done.
We did a power. We just talked about a power hour one time.
We definitely gotta get in that one.
I'm just got to cross out a couple of things we talked. This one's... Oh, shoot. I just... My phone. Hold on. I'm pulling it back up.
Pulling it back up.
Where is it? This one's a quick one. This is from Mike Fornary 1. Hashtag asking... He actually says asking for a friend. Does Australia exist? No. We've gone over that.
It's a completely, fake continent. Not.
Fake continent.
Giant joke.
Hashtag fake news.
Like, have you seen the animals that they say that come from there? Those aren't even real animals. Yeah,
fuck's a wallaby?
A platypus? It's a duck beaver? A duck beaver lizard thing? No. Come on. Yeah.
Let's get into some new podcast review. I got two new reviews here.
We have a whole bunch of reviews.
I think me and Dan have been going through them without you. Facebook? I didn't do any Facebook ones.
Are you on the website or are you on?
I'm on the My Podcast Reviews.
Okay, nice.
Terrifically eye-opening and puts you at the edge of your seat. Fuck, I can't read. All these people making fun of me on Instagram are right. This is from Dustin.
They're just stating
Alangre,
facts. Making funny.
from the USA. This is a 5-star review. This podcast is awesome. It really opens up your mind and makes you think about what's going on out there. Artificial intelligence taking over and extraterrestrials exploring Earth are my two favorite subjects here. It also makes me happy that they use profanity. Fuck yeah, it does. It makes it fun. I can't get enough of these guys. Keep it up. 5 out of 5. And I got one more. This is from JT Graham from Australia. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 would recommend this podcast. I've listened to every episode at least once, and not only is everything super informative with plenty of theories that get you thinking, but also real casual at the same time. I miss Braden getting drunk as he used to on the earlier episodes, but still enjoy it as much. Keep up the good work, guys. Oh, thanks, man. Zell, you got any Facebook reviews?
Yeah, I'll read one off Facebook here. Cody Brown. 5-star, you guys are awesome. Never listened to podcasts, but one day I wanted to, and this is the first one I ran into. So many people say that. I don't know how. We're the first.
Is it because we have, because it's like we're A, or, you know, or do they go alphabetically? Well, maybe?
But if you know, if you search alien podcast, like, we're on the first page, but we're not like the first one. So I don't know. It happens a lot, and it's awesome. I got to say, it's the biggest conspiracy portrayed on this pod is the Randomatron Pike. WTF is it? But seriously addicting. I don't really know what that means, but.
Randomatron Pike.
What's the Randomatron Pike?
I mean, I know the Randomatron, but what's the Pike?
I don't know.
Is that an expression?
Maybe it's an expression. Maybe it's from the UK. We just don't understand. But thanks, Cody Brown. Appreciate it. I think that's it. The other ones I think I've read before.
Anything else?
What is it? I had one more. Oh, wait, I lost it. Shoot. God dang. Where'd it go? Hold on. Pulling it back up. Because I just saw that thing. This is from, going back to the Facebook thing where they ask us anything. This is just the one last one. This is from Matt Lanning. And he says, okay, hashtag asking for your friend real quick. I know all of you are skeptical on the existence of Sasquatch. I'm from South Carolina, and down here the old timers call them the Booger. Right?
What?
I know, it's funny. Hold on. My question, if there's thousands of firsthand accounts, are all these people misidentifying the creature they see or lying? I find it hard to believe that everyone is lying or just wants to tell their story or opinions from the theorist. Okay, opinions from the theorist. Dude, I'm pretty sure my grandma and my dad, like, they called them boogers. Like, in the Northwest. They were from Michigan. And they called them boogers. So I never heard that from anywhere before, like when I was small. Like I didn't read about Bigfoot. I didn't start really reading about Bigfoot and stuff like that until I was like maybe 12 or 13. So it was like getting to the library and things like that. But like I had heard them called boogers before. Like that wasn't strange to me when I found out like that. I was like, oh yeah, like that's what they called them, you know. And they were like the ape, like they were Sasquatch. Or that's how they described them anyways.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, I don't know exactly where the name comes from, but I know that I've heard that before, you know? So people have been seeing them for at least that long. So I just wanted to get that in there because I was like, yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about.
Hey, man, I don't believe in Bigfoot, but I don't not believe. Like, there's so many people, like he says, giving eyewitness accounts and shit.
Yeah.
There's got to be, it's something. I mean, a lot of people misidentify for bears. Like, that's 100% true. Like, yeah. Definitely. But there's some cases that are like, no, I was 10 feet away. I've seen a bear 100 times. It wasn't a fucking bear. Like, there's a lot of those accounts. Like, it's crazy. So, yeah. I don't know.
You know, they're seeing something. And even if it's, I mean, there should be legitimate investigations of it. Because even if it's just some giant homeless guy roaming around in a shaggy costume in a ghillie suit or something, you know, somebody needs to like figure this out because it's creepy. And it's just like, yes, we have a homeless dude roaming around, a hermit or something, roaming around the forests of the Northwest in a giant ghillie suit on stilts or something. I want to know.
All right.
Yeah. You know?
I got one last segment I was going to start close out the show, unless you guys got something else you want to touch on before we go.
Zell's prolapse of the week.
Oh! Prolapse.
Yeah, no, I got been sitting on this for a while. Dwight Koons sent us, he owns a little small skateboard company, and he,
that's a pretty sweet name,
made a fucking alien abduction skateboard deck and sent it to us.
What? Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty badass.
That is fucking cool.
So, Dwight, you're the man.
It, man, dude.
Yeah, if fucking, you know what?
If I knew I had a skateboarder, or I ever skateboarded, like, I'd be like, yeah, that's super awesome, and I totally get it, but I do not skateboard.
I skateboarded a lot from, like, 12 to, like, 17, and then one time I had this, like, case so hard off a 5-set, I never skateboarded again. That was it.
I used to skateboard so bad with Zell, and I think the only my only claim to fame trick is I fell one time and somehow put the my own toes up my own ass.
It's true. I forgot about that. I don't even know how it's possible. Your ankle bent that way, and then you fucking just probed yourself with your toes.
Nothing broke, but I was like sitting perfectly, my heel in the ground, my toes, and then sitting directly on my like right into my butt.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Anyways, I mentioned on Instagram, I've been reading a lot of books this summer, so I was going to start just giving Brayden's book reviews. The first book I read this summer, this one was recommended to me by good friend of the show, Tiana. I don't know why I said her name's so weird. She's going to give me shit.
Tiana.
Dan knows Tiana. Tiana was so excited to see Dan in Thailand. Tiana threw up.
Oh yeah.
So excited.
That is really what happened. She did throw up. She saw me and threw up.
So the first book I read this summer was The Three Body Problem. This book, it's a Chinese sci-fi that's been translated to English. The author is, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Liu Cixin, and it was translated by Ken Liu. I'm not being racist. This is purely because I can't read. I had a really hard time with this book, and I wanted to get into it so bad because it's spacey, it's interesting, but I can't pronounce any of the Chinese names, and they're all so similar that I forget who's who in the book. So I'd be so confused, like going on, be like, okay, which is this name? So I was like, well, you know, like if you're gonna translate it like from Chinese to English, like, you know, throw in a couple Carls or, you know, like for us slow readers.
That's not their name, though.
It was so, like, so that's what my biggest complaint about the book is. I just kept having an issue with the names. Some of them are kind of similar, and I'd forget who is who. Interesting book. It's a trilogy. I have the other two, and I don't know if I'm going to get into them. But it was very interesting read. I don't know if I'm going to recommend it, but I would say I'd give it a 3 out of 5. It wasn't the worst book I've read this summer, but it wasn't the best.
Not a waste of time, but you could probably find something better is what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Our listeners are far smarter than me. I'm actually going to recommend they read it because they'll probably get way more out of it than I did.
Probably.
Anyways, anything else, guys?
Yes, a quick shout out to our newest Patreon supporters. We're getting closer to our next goal of 300 Patreon supporters, and when we do that, you're gonna see some live shows, live, uncut,
live show
on the air. But for now, we got Mary Hart,
Pretty Mugs,
Avis Lee, Larry Johnson, Nicholas Bork, Daniel Hill. Sorry, of course, I'm always fucking one up. And we got a couple of people who deleted. You don't get read. But those are the newest patrons in August here so far. So thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Patreon.com/AlienTheoristPodcast. Help us out. No ads ever. Cheers.
Make sure to rate us on iTunes, and you can always message your boys on any... find us anywhere on social media. And we like to always say, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace. Woo. Yeah.
What?
Fucking so, Aurora. Nice. Hoax.
Hoax. 100%. Shit.
I think it's a hoax, but it's a cool hoax. It's stood the test of time. People.